Thank you, guys. This week's 10 Black Commandments is how hood are you? And what's the word? Disclaimer. This list was written by none other than Marco Valencia.
Please send all your comments, concerns, and questions directly to him. The Street 16 podcast will not be vetting any of those answers.
10 Black Commandments, how hood are you? Number one, have you ever had to go to church more than once a week? Marco.
Of course.
Jeff.
All the time.
You know it.
All right.
Study on Tuesday, choir rehearsal on Wednesday, dedication on Thursday, Friday night service, Sunday morning, both services.
And look at the good it did.
Yeah, right. It did great.
Oh, no, baby. Yeah, we good.
We good.
I am ultra enlightened.
We good. Yeah. Number eight. Have you ever had a floor model TV that did not work with the working TV sitting on top? Marco.
I got one right now in my house. In the loft. Mike, you know what I'm talking about. In the loft.
I think you have two in your house. Jeff?
Yes.
You are now listening to the Street 16 podcast.
All right. Peace and greetings. I'd like to give a shout out to all my loved ones. As many of you know, my dad, the G.O.D. Senior, came to visit in Virginia last week and had a family dinner with all of his grandkids, except for two.
That's nice.
Yes, I had to push for this because my family doesn't do things like this often. And there was resistance during the planning and preparation. Two of my dad's children did not show up for dinner. But overall, it was a huge success. And I was planning on calling him today live on the air from the podcast. More on that in a minute. But first, allow me to introduce myself. I am your four-time baby daddy, underground hip-hop icon and author of Voiceless, the journal of underground starving artist Michael Barcliff. Some might know me as Naughty here. Either one is fine. And to my left, it's the brother that just told me that he hates when his mom and his sister talks on the phone because everything stops. TMI, I don't know why everything stops, and I don't know why that's a bad thing, but hopefully we'll find out. It's the light-skinned I Need Money, Mr. Marco Valencia.
Yo, what's up, party people? It's Mark V, as Mike called me last week. But also the nigga you love to hate, and the feedback I'm getting, I'm definitely the nigga you love to hate, but I don't give a fuck. But I'm glad to be back in the studio, you know, Music Theory with DJ Kareem, my man Jeff, and the star of our show, Key Crawford.
Don't bury the lead. The young black mermaid is back. She has informed me that she has less than a week before the season begins. And this season is the Chicago Bears going 3-8. Again, for the 12th time in the last decade. Is that the season we're having? Pause. Key Crawford, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, hey. It's good to be back. How y'all doing out there? Don't come for my team.
Your team?
Don't come for my team. They're going to be great.
Your quarterback ruined the draft last year. We should come for your team.
Who's your team?
Ruined the draft. Who's my team?
Who's it?
The six-time Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers? Yeah.
Makes sense now. It all makes sense.
Hold on, no.
It all
I'm
makes
right
sense
behind
now.
You.
What, with five?
I got five.
Fan or 49?
You know it.
Cowboys?
I ain't got no
chance. You go ahead and not kneel. Enjoy your games.
This makes on the line. So much sense now that it's Steelers fans and a Cowboys fan. It makes sense.
And what am I?
It all comes together.
And what am I?
I don't know.
Come on now.
I know that's right.
What is every nigga from any borough of New York?
No.
Everyone knows what team I rep soon as they listen to me talk, and that is the Republicans. But now, to my right. To my right. Is the brother who makes me want to strive to be better in everything I say and do.
The smartest man in the room.
That's crazy because I ain't
shit. No, this is the smartest man in the room. Always. He could be sitting with Stephen Hawking. He could be sitting with Albert Einstein. And he still sounds like the smartest man in the room.
Being that both of them are dead and can't speak, that's not saying too much. But, you know, it's your boy, okay. J-Mac, J-Wonder.
Jay is rocking a faded Mickey Mouse shirt from the 1941 collection.
Yeah, vintage, nice. Bro. I'm not with the shit.
That's the World War II edition.
And he got the mean mug. But it's great to be back. Let's get into it, man. I'm going to try to make this podcast great again. Anyway, people, let's get into it.
Okay.
Family.
We're going to take a quick pause and come right back, and we'll discuss more of the details of the family dynamics that exist here for members of the team.
Yeah.
That all right, everybody? Yeah. All right, cool. We're going to pause and come right back. Street 16 Podcast. Pause.
Family.
Hello. Yeah. I be OBGYN and winning, juicing, ginning, spinning, binning, sinning, swimming and women like I've been pimping from the beginning. Holding light like I'm holding light. Surgical calculation, precise, enticing the envious for target practice. They stuck in the sights. We on that ghetto bastard shit with a hydrochloric acid fist. When I catch a chick, I blast a chick. I'm a pacifist, last masochist. My ass to kiss when they wanna search, church. And I ain't got no work, but I got them stripes like a convict suit. Waking up early like a convict dude. We up all night to kill them all day. Life is all fight to make them all pay. So when I walk in the room, I lock it in and get me some. When I hunt them down, I zone on in and get it done.
Now, next to die when I testify. Mushroom gravy, shepherd's pie, leopard's eye. Vision given, living legend, skeptic eye. College when the septic guy, out of school, by the pool. Never swam, letters jam. When I sent him a telegram. Now auto-tune your auto-text. Yamas on the autocorrect. Editing and proof readers. Ghostwriters, truth seekers. When the last time I heard a rhyme about my new sneakers, Tim boots, Tim shoes, models in them swimsuits.
All night to kill them all day. My life is
peace,
all
we're back. Street 16 Podcast. Mike Barton, Keith Crawford, Marco Valencia, Jeff McCoy. We are talking about family. My dad just came to visit in Virginia. Had dinner with all his grandkids except for two. And all his children were there except for two. I had to push for it. It is not something that we do often in my family. The big divide in my family has always been the religion. Out of our six children, me and my five siblings, three of us are quote-unquote non-believers, and three of them are quote-unquote Jehovah Witnesses. Now, the religious barrier in many families do exist, but I believe in this religion it makes it worse. Part of the reason is because if you become disfellowship, which means you became a Jehovah Witness, were baptized into the faith, and then later on decide, or your actions let it be known that you no longer want to live this lifestyle, you are disfellowshipped. Once you are disfellowshipped, the people who are in the organization are not allowed to socialize with you, including family members. So my brother was disfellowshipped about 30 years ago. My mother and him have not spoke really since then. Part of my whole adult life, I've been trying to regain a comfortable relationship between my mom and my brother. Too much damage has been done. Too many years have passed. My mom has changed because I take credit for helping to work on her from this end. But my brother does not know that. And he is scared and he is hurt and he is not willing to make the effort to take the first step to try to regain a relationship with mom. Having said that, I called my dad like, yo, you retired now. I have a toddler, you have a young grandson, you haven't seen your other grandchildren in 10 years. Now they're grown in college and teenagers, it's time for you to come down here. So he came and told me, I don't really wanna see your mom. I said, okay, that's fine. You don't have to see her. But I didn't tell mom this. And so on the day of the dinner, mom came. He didn't know. She didn't know. He said he didn't want her to come. They said hello. They sat at different tables. We had a great time. Everything went fine. When I just got off the phone with my dad before the session, he told me that he's glad I pushed for it. He said he enjoyed it. It went way better than he thought it would. He said he needed this. And he said he didn't even know how bad he needed it until it happened.
Right.
After he said this to me, I hung up the phone and said, you know what? I can't call him now. He already said what needed to be said in private. And as much as I would like to share that on the podcast, if I try to call him now and repeat that, I'm kind of...
That's disingenuous.
Yeah. So I felt like, yo, my job is done. I could take a victory lap, smoke a cigar, and fall back.
Definitely.
That's my story.
Aw, that's such a heartwarming story.
Shout out to Papa Barclef.
That's right. Rekindle these families, y'all.
Well, I would love to hear from him.
You want to call him anyway?
Yeah, let's call him.
You didn't hear anything he just said.
I did.
We're not going to call her.
We're not calling him. We're going to let maybe the next time. Yeah. Let it sit for a while. Let it mellow out. Let him have time to process.
They got to bask in the afterglow.
Yeah, let them have their moment.
We're here to stay in his van, though.
Me and him talked about this just the other night. You know what I'm saying?
See, because you were out there and you didn't hear everything that he said, you will understand why we're not calling him.
But thank you for getting up and leaving to go hack your brains out. We do appreciate that.
Oh, not a problem.
In the vein of religion and families, being that you come from a mixed religious background, were there any challenges with that growing up or circumstances that need to be overcome?
Honestly, with like my father being, you know, like growing up like Pentecostal, like Christian, like, you know what I mean? My mom being Mormon, like it was weird, I think, seeing like kind of how things worked, you know what I mean? Like, but they never really pressed anything on us. Like, once we moved to Salt Lake, it was kind of like everybody's Mormon. My dad never went to church with us. Like, he never went to temple. He never went, did any of those things. I didn't really understand why. It was always kind of like, well, why doesn't he have to go? You know what I mean? But
my daddy ain't never had to go to church. How come dad don't have to go to church?
I feel like that ain't even really a Mormon versus Protestant thing.
But
my daddy never had to go to church.
Right. Those two religions.
Did your dad go to church?
He goes.
See? But I don't think that's everybody's
thing. He's a practicing Jehovah's Witness, though. But, like, yeah, usually in families, though, even if they're all of the same religion,
so that wasn't like odd.
Now look, it was times when my dad would make us get up and go to field service. Uh-huh. He would get us ready for field service, then take his ass back down in his bed.
Okay, so that's just a bad thing. I always thought it was Sunday's like, well, why doesn't he have to go? And I knew it was because they were religious.
Here's the interesting thing about my particular situation with that is that Jehovah's Witnesses have little small study groups that meet at someone's house. Mm-hmm. My house was that house.
Okay, so you always had this info.
So Saturday mornings before field service, you know, your little group of 30 people would meet at someone's house and talk about field service before y'all went out.
Okay.
And so our house was the house where they met up. So Saturday mornings, we had to get up, go upstairs, clean the kitchen, set out the chairs, unlock
the
door,
let people in.
And so it was like, how you gonna get up and get the house ready for field service and then go back to bed? You already up? Get your ass and go.
Right.
But his ass would go back to bed.
He would go back to bed while you guys went to field service.
Maybe we should get this dude on the phone. Yeah. I demand answers.
Yeah. I mean, my dad did the same thing. Look, boy. Get your ass up. You going to church. Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying?
So is it in the marital contract? Like I hereby get the big piece of chicken and don't have to do shit on Sunday.
Yeah,
I
think it is. But look though, hold on though. I be standing at the car, my mama be like, get in the car. It's time to go to church.
You ever got beat for saying, but daddy ain't gotta go?
Yes. No. But the point
not
is,
beat, but
I'm like, I'm waiting for dad. Oh, don't worry about your father.
I would always get the
He's gonna come later.
Right. Yeah, I got that. He's coming later, or why isn't he going? It's like, shut up, get in the car.
Yeah.
So Key, before we go to break, you are very nurturing. Mm-hmm. I don't know your whole spiritual religious identity, if there is one, but if you have kids, all right, and you have a husband, and the father of the children, the husband, doesn't want to go to church, and the kids say to you, Mom, why dad ain't got to go? What are you going to say?
Get your ass in the car.
I guess I'm going to just shut up and get in the car. Shut up and get in the car. You got to do it to your teeth.
The legacy lives on, ladies and gentlemen. Yo, let's take a quick pause and come right back. We're going to try to get Marco's son, Deontay, on the phone live from Spain.
Spain, right off the coast of Spain in the Mediterranean.
Deontay, answer the damn phone.
I know that's right.
There's hoes in the ocean, bro. We'll keep the show plugging along without you, bro. It's okay.
Jeff, you would know that, right?
See?
I mean, if you're in the south of Spain, it's odds are it's hoes in the ocean.
Right. Good point. And I'm trying to get one, at least one.
How you? You sitting right here. In
but we'll get him.
If I was there,
on FaceTime, it's cool.
Do not underestimate the guy sitting next to you. There's something that happens around this guy. Trust me, I'll tell you. I don't see it either. We'll be right back after this. After this break, Street 16.
You know me, kind of things. I'll be buying diamond rings. Cover your mouth and try to sing. Use your brain, use your chest. Clean yourself up, who's a mess? Stupid, who did you impress? Now all you got is music left. Like that ain't in short supply. Never gonna listen, don't know why. Hoping doors gonna open wide. What is this nigga smoking lie? Someone gave him a twisted view. Nobody shows up, just a few. Friends and cousin and sister too. Then a nigga got his pistol through. Shootings in the alleyway. Mom is crying, now we pray. I'm going back to Cali, May. 2018, no Sally May. So if we ever meet again, call me if you need a friend. But I don't need nothing more, just put this on for repeat again. Baby, I am leaving now. Baby, I think we even now. Baby, I am leaving now. I think we even now. Gonna relocate. Are you gonna miss me like he's so great? Sometime when you heard we throw hate, can't be concerned who keep day. No distractions, no remorse. Don't wanna talk or go be forced to say a few things, but I'm going out of the end same way that Kobe lost.
Peace, we're back. Street 16 Podcast. Mike Barcliff, Keith Crawford, Marco Valencia, Jeff McCoy, talking about family. Marco has changed into a rainbow bright hoodie.
Legends Brewery. Check it out, Portsmouth, Virginia.
Why are you wearing that hoodie?
One, because this nigga Kyrie has it cold as a motherfucker in here.
Check.
Always. And I'm doing an advertisement for my brother.
Your brother who is Allen.
Allen Valencia.
And Allen is what? What is he to Legends?
Oh, he is the regional manager.
Okay.
Like I said, nobody's above him than the owner.
Tell us about your brother, Marco. When the last time y'all hung out together?
Oh, word. Just last week. We go bowling like at least once a week.
And what does he do while you're bowling?
Most of the time, we be kicking it, but he FaceTimes his wife.
Okay.
Aww. Yeah. So, you know, in between, you know, him, his turn and my turn, you know, he has to go back to the phone and sit on FaceTime.
Check in.
Maybe he legitimately just wants to talk to his wife.
Maybe he fears for his life. I mean, it could be either one.
Maybe he actually enjoys the human that he decided to commit his life to. Ooh. And wants to spend time with.
Why are you coming hard for me?
No. Don't do that. Address her point.
I mean, I'm just saying, it could be either one. He could be, you know, you ain't no holes at the bowling alley, is it?
Okay,
no, man. Look, I'm sitting here with Marco eating
French fries. Right, but then what about the fact that there are some people who legitimately marry their person and they really, he misses
Marco,
her, so he wants to keep her on his
phone. Is this out of love or out of fear?
Well, I will say this, that Marco told me that Allen says, hey, when it's my turn to bowl, here, talk to my wife, and hands him the device.
So there's an alibi there that ain't no hoes in the presence.
No, I think that he literally is making her a part of it, even though she's not there.
I understand what
you're
saying.
So when
you're
married,
Marco,
and you have a boyfriend that, you know, wants to FaceTime you, and when he goes to bowl, he says, here, talk to my brother. You're going to be on the line with his brother like what?
well, it depends on, for one, how long we've been married for. Like, have we been married a long time? Am I close to the brother? You know what I mean? But I probably wouldn't marry somebody.
The brother's Marco. How long they been married?
And it don't matter how long they've been together.
But see, the thing is, I wouldn't marry somebody.
That's related to Marco.
But I wouldn't, I don't, I'm not one of those people that are feel compelled to constantly be in contact with my person all the time, especially if we're doing events. Like, enjoy yourself, because I don't want to sit on the phone with you the entire time I'm out doing something.
You have a girlfriend or a sister that has one of those relationships where they compelled to talk FaceTime all the time. And you
my sister's like that with her boyfriend. And it's like, if she hand me the phone, I'm talking shit to him. I'm like, ugh, your head big as hell.
Okay.
Like, ugh, your shirt dirty. You look like your breath stank. Like, I'm literally going to mess with you the whole time until
Marco,
she gets the phone
write
back.
This down. The next time you talk to your sister-in-law,
you better not.
You look big as hell, your hair stink, and your breath is what did you say again?
You look, your breath stink, your shirt dirty.
No, yeah. Look, hold
say
on.
That to your sister-in-law. Like, they grown
say that to your sister-in-law.
I would never. She's a great person, though.
All right, Marco. So let's
and
back
we're
this
talking
up.
About she's his a great law, not person. My
we
boyfriend.
Have made
and look,
it.
No,
question.
Hold on, though. No matter what I think,
you love know, or fear, Marco. Are these phone calls out of love or fear?
I have no idea.
You're a lying son of a bitch.
I have no idea, man. I mean, for real, I don't know, because my brother is really hard to judge
when,
on
when
what he's
talking
thinking.
To on these calls. Do you ever see him like rotate so she can see his around
60?
Does she get the 360 panel?
No. But Emily, look, I just want to say this. Emily is a great asset to this family. For real.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's a loving girl. And it seems like my brother is like happy. Because I've seen him a lot of years where he wasn't happy.
Right, me too.
Yeah.
And Emily's a white woman that comes from money, correct? Pause.
Yeah.
Or we can't say that on TV.
No, it's good.
Okay.
I mean, she has a great job and she's worked hard for it. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is my brother seems happy. So if he's happy, I'm all good with that.
Good. Now, what do
because
you think?
All them years, remember when you first met Alan?
Right.
He won't have
you. I know. So you told me on a conference call that your brother is a black man, 50-something years old, and that he has never done what?
Slept with a black woman.
And how you feel about that?
I mean, to each his own. Choose a mobile phone, a tailored suit, or a luxury home.
Is that Ghostface?
That's Ice Tea.
Okay, cool.
And he's whack, too.
You wildin'. Anyway, moving back on the family and such. Mike.
Yes.
We talked about your father and the big dinner and all of that. I know that it's sometimes difficult to get all of your clan together, all in one space at one time.
You okay, baby?
But let's back up to the paintball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about your paintball adventure with your son on his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
How did that go?
Did you get plugged up?
Oh, I did. You got a nice one.
I called him the night before and was like, yo, cuh, bring a sweatshirt. I know it's going to be hot, but them janks hurt. You know what
the
I'm G-O-D saying? Them janks hurt.
The G.O.D. will be, nah, I'm good, son.
Yeah.
New York all day.
Yeah, son. I'm from Brooklyn,
I.B.
Yeah,
and he got plucked up.
You know, we went 0-4 in paintball. So, you know, next week we play the Bears, so that'll be our first victory of the season. But I mean, it was fun.
Oh, wow.
I tell you what took away my enjoyment, honestly, is that I had a cheap pair of rental goggles and they kept fogging up.
I told him
and
about
once
that.
My shit fogged up, I'm pretty much helpless. I could lay down cover fire for the team, and that wasn't fun enough.
Sounds like excuses.
There was one moment.
No, he's right.
Mike got done up. There was trying to make it good on.
No, he's right though, because I do paintball, right? And they give you them cheap janks.
Yeah, no, I get it.
See, I got the real janks.
See, Jeff wears glasses, for those of you who don't know. And he's a bar manager. So when he goes in the freezer to get more Coco Lopez, he's coming out with his glasses fogged up. And
really?
His slip-resistant shoes is the only thing keeping him from busting that ass.
True. Facts.
So yeah, I couldn't maneuver. But I mean, I never claimed to be, you know, G.I. Joe Brown in the nicest shot. What I claim to be is a fun father. And I actually didn't get this bruise from taking direct hits. This is from diving for cover and landing on some wood object that was protruding out of the mud.
So you saved the kitten from the tree?
Well, no, my daughter was the kitten in the tree in Asia, and some other little child, a Caucasian child, ended up trapped behind this bunker that was the last bunker before our base. And you know, to win the game, you got to get to the other team's base. Yeah. So we trying to get over there to defend the base. And gotcha. Asia and this other child is the only one behind them. Now, they are hidden behind the bunker. So the opponents don't know that it's just two little kittens. All they know is that it's two enemies behind this bunker.
Right.
But they're not shooting. They're just sitting there looking at me like, okay, Dad, how long before they blow the horn? And so I cannot get to Asia from my position. All I can do is cover fire.
Right.
I covered fire my ass off. I got one kill, my only kill of the day. And then after that, they made it to the base.
Why didn't you just...
Let's hear it.
Rush in.
Let's hear it.
And just start bussing and just laying down the shit.
Because I skipped that day on my seventh season of psychiatry in college.
Oh, okay.
How do you feel about Marco telling you that he's going to come in and start bussing?
I mean, well, look, hold on. Like I told Mike, I've done this shit in real life. And you don't get no... timeout, you've been hit. No, when you get hit, you hit for real.
Marco, you been hit before?
Yes.
Where at?
In my jaw.
Which side?
The right.
Can you see? What can we see?
You would have to feel it where my jawbone is missing.
All right, so on the commercial break, we're going to take Key's finger, and she's going to do her doctor thing.
No, we're not.
And she's going to...
No, what? Just look. It's proof. Right here.
We need your medical advice for if he really was shot... in Norfolk in 1992.
In the jaw.
In the jaw.
In the jaw.
Fitty style.
Here we go. Right here. I can feel it still. She's good.
All right, look, we'll take a quick pause. We're going to come right back. I want to get into Jeff and Key.
We're going to take 9 shots. We'll just call it 50. Jeff.
Right after this break.
I know that's right.
Big shout out to Kid AV.
Hold on, and I'm done.
Down with no OPP because I'm on an AC, dot a HIV. Now she wanna test me for STD, H1N1, call the CDC. Shorty acting like she got her own PhD, but you's a CNA, not an ENT. I said, bitch, you can give me an EKG, a chest X-ray, and start a new IV. It turned out she ain't even no CPR, with a first aid tape and a VCR. Now she got an iPod and a PSP, playing have-not CDs on MP3. Got us waiting online at the DMV. They got Fox, CNN, MSNBC. But me, I wanna watch me some BET. DMX got a new song with Jay-Z. Now do I use every letter, every letter, every letter, every letter, every letter, and nobody do it better. Yo, I use every letter, every letter, every letter, every letter, every letter, and nobody do it better. Yo, I use every letter, every letter, every letter, every letter, every letter, and nobody do it better. Yo, I use every letter. I'm proud of this group, so come and get a slide.
All right, so check this out. Going back into the line of the whole family thing, my dad, he told me about this article from the Awake magazine, which is the magazine that the Jehovah's Witnesses put out. And it's an article, it's like a 12-series article about family. And, you know, it's talking about commitment, respect, all these things. So I read this article. And I actually took screenshots of things that I thought, you know, was good. And I would like to share some of them when we get an opportunity to do some of this and, you know, sort of get everybody's takes on what they think about some of the information. Now, mind you, a lot of the stuff that's in the article is not stuff that was applied in my household. And we had an interesting conversation on the call about if children grow up in an unhappy marriage, is that better or worse for the children? Because a lot of people have been saying that that unhappiness bleeds into the children. And the alternative is just because the parents split up doesn't mean that they're gonna be happy on that side of the other thing too. So what's better or worse? Because my family, my mother and father, never got along, never talked, slept in different rooms, never did any of those things together, barely touched each other, and they're still married to this day. They just never got divorced. Different generation. So,
I think it's a double-edged sword. Like, I think, you know, my parents' separation definitely made me more independent. You know, I've been more not self-serving, but protective of myself. And, you know, I grew and had to do things at an earlier age than a lot of people.
How old were you?
I moved back here. I divorced them when I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
I moved back to Virginia and stayed with my grandparents. And then my mom came 2 years later, a few months later, a year or so. But either which way. Yeah, so I think my imagination is stronger because I had to, you know, being an only child and then living with my grandparents, I had to entertain myself a lot and do for myself and take care of myself, which are great attributes. But at the same time, I've come to find in my adult life, I don't know what a real relationship looks like.
You don't know. Seen one.
I've never seen a true, like, I mean, up close and personal.
Right, not
I've
clear and huck, a, not Huxtables. Yeah, right.
Hey, boo, like, you know what I mean? Key's parents, from right. What she describes to them.
Right.
I've never seen that once.
Key, what you think about?
And see, for me, it's like what you're saying, I feel like a negative thing for me is that I put so much weight on relationships. Mm. You know what I mean? And interactions with other people. Like, if we're in a relationship, it means so much. And it literally can crumble me because of what I've seen. You know what I mean? How I expect it to be. And so it's kind of like, when I think of my life, I always think about it with a partner. So I don't necessarily know if I've been equipped with the skill to necessarily
be by yourself.
To be by myself. Because of what I'm... So it comes with its pros and cons. Because it's like, I can't imagine life 20 years from now and being single, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, but for me, it's like, well, that's not a part of the plan. And I don't even know if I know how to navigate life like that. You know what I mean? Because I have these things that I've seen as examples, and it's like, it's supposed to be this way.
But look, you're a strong, independent Black woman, right? And you don't need no Negro, you know what I'm saying,
you're right,
to satisfy your life.
Because right. what I'm saying,
your Hillary Clinton girlfriend right now. Right. We came together, we leave together.
Get your bag, girl. But no, what I'm saying is I'm very aware that if it boils down to it, of course I'm going to lace up my bootstraps and do what I got to do. But what I'm saying is the example from my life is having my parents together. They do things together. They love each other. Coming from a very well-rounded household, obviously that's what I want for myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that's part of the plan.
So let me ask you this. If you can recall, did your parents have brothers, sisters, aunt, you know, they would be your aunts or other friends, church members, that they knew as couples that was going through divorce, that was going through problems? Did you have anything in your circle that was close that showed, hey, this is what dysfunctional families look like?
Maybe. I mean, I guess nothing that I can recall like that. Like, I do know that my parents had a couple friends, you know what I mean, that would come over.
They seemed just as happy as...
Pretty much, you know, but I was raised kind of like in that environment where it's like when the adults are hanging out, you know, in the dining room and they sipping wine and stuff, y'all go to the game room.
They
could have either hidden things or it could have been them counseling their friends or whatever, but we're not going to be privy to that because we were children.
What was the exactly. Can you think that's of what was the worst? What was the worst? Because see, me in my environment, honestly, I can't even. Every single day I saw domestic violence, disrespect. Every day. It was never a day that I didn't. This is the project of Brooklyn. In the 80s, not Brooklyn now. There was never a day that passed. There was almost never an hour that passed that you didn't see dysfunction. In my own house, and including everybody around me, you had to search far and wide to find what even looked like anything close to yours. So in your childhood, what was the closest thing you might have ever seen that looked like dysfunction? You can you recall anything? That wasn't on TV or wasn't in the movies?
I think maybe, like, now being an adult, if my mom was upset with my dad, I think, like, I noticed that she would have things, like, handed to her through my brother. So, like, because it'd be like, you know, can you pass this? Can you pass that? She wouldn't address my dad.
You
know,
you
didn't realize it at the time, but it's like, you know, she, Mike, can you, you know, pass this? Or, you know, Dylan, can you pass this? She would never address him. And I don't really think she looked in his direction at the time.
Right.
But it would never last more than a day either.
I love that.
You know.
I love that.
Yeah, so I think that was the most. But then I feel like now as an adult, the dysfunction was that mask. You can't, it's hard for me to believe now as an adult that everything was 100% perfect. Nobody lives a perfect life. I think that they did a phenomenal job in raising us. Mm-hmm. I think they did a phenomenal job in showing us what love is, what compassion is, working through stuff. But the problem is, they didn't teach us how to work through problems. What do you do when there's a problem in your marriage? Because I'm not equipped with that skill.
I have a few ideas about this, but as far as this whole relationship thing, it always takes two people. So no matter how much you try to, you know, think that, yo, it's about me, it's gonna take another person that's gonna have to help you out with that. What I found is, I think that if you continually work on yourself, some of those things seem to fall into place. Now, if you allow someone that's, if you allow yourself to be unevenly yoked in the first place, I say, think about this. Where were you at in your mind when you decided to start to be with this person? Were you in your highest state? Were you operating at a pristine state, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's when you make your best decisions.
Yeah. I agree with that completely. I really do.
Go ahead, Marco. Even... Let's hear this.
I just want some pussy.
So, if you were seeking happiness in your life, if you were seeking happiness in your life, move to Utah. All black fathers do not go to church. And Marco... just want some pussy.
Oh, my God. And you had to reiterate it for what?
Marco,
I'm just wrapping it up.
But no, look. No, hold on. Because, you know what? I grew up in a similar household as you did. You know what I'm saying? Everything looked like...
Right, and we're the byproducts of these households?
Right. Yeah. Alan, wait till you meet Alan.
No.
Look, you know what I'm saying? I'm standing freaking Mayberry.
Go ahead, make the point. Go ahead.
Okay. But when my parents split up, that just spun my life off something. 12 years old.
Right.
Yo, that's definitely
right? a time frame. Because my brother is 7 years older than me. My sister is 14 years older than me. So I never really grew up with them. You see what I'm saying?
Like a single.
Right? And then after my dad left, my life just spun off into what y'all know.
That makes sense.
Okay, but the point is, if my dad would have stayed, I would be a totally different person.
And you
because, I mean, what they instilled in me as far as, because my mom was a teacher and dad is like, okay, your ass a schoolboy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I still, even though I was doing what I was doing, I still brought home honor roll because that's what was expected of me. You see what I'm saying? Everything I was doing, I kept, and I only had to keep it from one person, my mother.
What do you think when you left?
But the point is, if my dad was there, I was so afraid of him. Or even if I was doing something wrong in the neighborhood and he heard about it, that's what kept me on track. But after he left, what else do I need to be afraid of?
I want to come back to this, Marco. We're going to do another family episode. We're going to wrap it up because this, I've heard you say this a few times.
Yeah.
I just want to share it just in case you might have never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to make sure that we speak about your situation with your dad. In closing, everyone knows my sort of not great perception of my parents' religion. And
I can get into that.
Sure you can. In the spirit of balance, I've always said that the religion was not a total bad experience for me. Not at all. There are certain things that I might have to owe to this background and this upbringing that might not have existed had I not undergone it. So as much as I grumble about having to put on church socks and knock on the doors and the projects of Brooklyn and Winter as a kid, there are good things about it, and I want to share with you one of them now in closing.
Okay.
As a child, we were entered into what was called the Theocratic Ministry School. You would have to give spoken assignments in front of the Wednesday night congregation on a specific Bible topic. And you were given these assignments maybe 2 months in advance, and you had a 5-minute presentation. After your presentation, the overseer would publicly grade you on 2 or 3 speaking points. And the speaking points were from a list called Theocratic Ministry School Council Form. Mm-hmm. And when I read you these speaking points and tell you that this is what I had to work on as a child, I want you to listen to these speaking points and tell me if this has not affected me as an adult, as a writer, as an orator, as an MC. All right, here we go. They go from number 21 to 37. All right, here we go. 21, informative material, clear and understandable. 22, introduction rouse interest, introduction appropriate to theme. 22, introduction of proper length. 23, volume and pausing. 24, audience encouraged to use the Bible, scriptures properly introduced. 25, scriptures read with emphasis. Scripture application made clear. 26, repetition for emphasis, gestures. 27, subject theme emphasized, main points made to stand out. 28, audience contact, use of notes, use of outline. 29, fluency, conversational quality, pronunciation. 30, coherence through connectives, logical coherent development. 31, convincing argument, audience help to reason. 32, sense stress, modulation. 33, enthusiasm, warmth and feeling. 34, illustrations fit material, illustrations fit audience. 35, material adapted for field ministry. 36, conclusion appropriate, effective, conclusion of proper length, timing. 37, confidence and poise, and personal appearance. This is a hell of a school. And on the bottom, I just read the fine print. Like, this is from childhood, but I went back through my mom's old Bible books and I saw it and I scanned this and I printed it in my book. There's a copy of this in my book. It says, note, the blank spaces on the form may be used for counseling students on points not listed, such as accuracy of statement, articulation, bearing, choice of words, grammar, mannerisms, relevancy, teaching techniques, and voice quality when the need arises. There's a long list of people in my book that are celebrities that all you guys know, rappers, actors, entertainers, that were raised by Jehovah's Witness. And I think that this is part of the reason. I think they on to something here. I don't think Norville and the private school and the college Marco went to could have done a better job than these guys.
Just let me say this. God isn't down with religion, because religion separates us. And I'm done.
All right, Marco. Anybody else?
Drink Legends Brown Ale. Go hug somebody close to you.
No doubt.
Call your mom and tell her you love her.
Jeff has been under the weather, and I talk about the spiritual weather because he says he's having a few problems with
life.
Life.
I'm in my bag. I'll be fine. I'm just in my bag. Fuck all y'all. All
right.
Wow. Look here. Love each other. Drink lots of water. Don't smoke crack. That's all I got.
Who's still smoking crack?
Are we having a back to school party for Key?
No, I'm too old for that.
But we are gonna write letters for Key to get accepted into medical school next year. I think my letter's gonna be the best.
Oh Lord.
All right, we're gonna see whose letter makes the cut.
Oh, you want me to write a letter for you, Key?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. In closing, thanks for listening again. Like, share, comment, subscribe in that order.
Bye, guys.
Marco, you want the last word?
I'm done.
We'll see y'all next time, y'all. Right. Peace. This is Street 16 Podcast.
Oh. Petroleum, laid on linoleum, but no hat.
half slipping when you see me at the podium. Spit sharp shooters that appear Shavarian. Overflow, I gave librarians cesareans. Cream that's Bavarian. Flooded your aquarium like your inbox spam coming from Nigerians. Said man, now I never get a credit card again. Rap for the kids calling us the backyardigans. Homegrown lettuce, now he spit medicine. Call Allen Iverson, y'all niggas tiresome. Shout to the Popes and the Barclays and Friesons. And if you ain't got no money, I could wire some. Naughty and logical, that's my biological. Know they read about us in them newspaper articles. If you've been concerned, I return like the prodigal. Son, and I come just to burn water molecules.
Does it help that I live? Would it hurt if I died? Would the world become lighter because of one less guy? Tell me how to maintain, 'cause I can't please them all. Save the dirt for my grave, 'cause even legends get a bad name.
You've been told, but we do it like the churches. Separate your family, get your paper for our purpose. Plagiarize the facts, Wendell Johnson like an axe. Mafia, what you possess, personal property tax. Simplify, sunken treasure, simplify for your pleasure. Pistol City with the pen, do or die, mega ever. You a lie if you ever think you close to the pristine 16. Classic like the ceiling in the Sistine.
You are now listening to the Street 16 Podcast.